Independent wrestling is pretty damn fucking cool.
We're sitting down in the spotlight and squared circle with Rhino.
We're trying to bring more awareness to the independent professional wrestling scene.
Undoubtedly thankful for anybody that just decided to tune in and actually liked us enough to keep listening.
You're tuned into a show of such thermonuclear awesomeness, your head might just implode into another quantum universe. That's right, it's Grapple Talk with your very imposing hosts, A.C. Riley, Nicholas Ragnar, and Jesse Von Ruden. Stick around, you don't know what is going to be coming out of their mouths.
And welcome into Grapple Talk, episode number 71, the start of our 70, their decade of 70s, right,
back
guys?
To yeah. 70s.
Does that make sense?
Right?
Yeah. How's that 70s show song go again?
Oh, it's like, hanging out, down the street, Grapple Talk.
What do you got next? You got the next lyric? Or not?
He's looking at me.
Yeah, sure.
Because I'm naked in a corner,
no,
shaking peas
now
on my leg.
This
just
weird.
Took a very awkward turn.
I think that's how the song goes, right?
No. I don't think that's how it goes.
I think that's how the porn version goes, actually, when you look at the porn season of it.
Well, that's terrible.
Anyways, this isn't porn Grapple Talk. This is Grapple Talk regular. This is the regular version, not grope talk.
Grope talk.
Grope talk. Not uncomfortable grope talk.
Well, it all depends. Some of the road trips sometimes get a little uncomfortable, but it depends on who's actually with us.
It's a porn podcast. You guys ever listen to a porn podcast?
No.
Don't.
Have you?
Don't do it.
You have.
Don't.
You totally have.
We got a lot to get to today. We're sitting down with ACW's booker. I don't even know what the correct name is.
ACW owner.
Owner.
Dylan Postel.
Yes,
owner. Great interview lined up, so keep an eye out for that. And ear as well.
Yep, we're also going to be talking, obviously, some national and regional stuff, but before we get there, like every week, we got to do some upcoming shows.
Here are some featured shows that are appearing in the Midwest area.
Well, I've been getting stuck on Friday shows, so it's MCWA Presents Sons of Slamarchy.
Wow.
Wow, ain't very that something? It's Friday, April 24th at Rookies, which is at 1519 Oak Street, and Wayne Dottie, Michigan? I'm going to say it's Wayne Dottie, Michigan. If
Wayne
not,
Dottie.
You can find it on Facebook.
Probably all right. Good.
Teacher versus student as Johnny Bravo.
No way.
That's
is
his
that
name.
Really?
John E. Bravo.
Oh, okay. It's not the dude with black glasses.
Yeah.
Oh, come on now. Do the monkey with me.
He might.
Do the monkey. Come on. Right, Riley? Remember that cartoon?
Yeah, I remember that cartoon.
Her there, Pretty Mama.
Pretty Mama.
All right, well, you take it on his student, I believe, Aiden Prince. That's going to be an interesting one. Sean Taylor.
He's dead. Redskin.
Yeah. We'll be taking on Jay Abrams. Doors for the event will open at 7:30 with the bell time at 8. Advanced ticket holders are allowed inside the building at 7:15 to take part in a special meet and greet. Plus, first pick of seating. Tickets for the event are 10 for general admission, and kids 12 and under they can get it for free. More information, you can check them out on Facebook at MCWA Pro. That's, of course, MCWA Pro's Sons of Slamarchy.
Cool stuff.
Yeah, it should be interesting.
I'm a little sick, so if I cough or sniffle a lot during this podcast, I apologize.
You can't get sick by listening to this podcast.
You can't get sick, but I'm just apologizing for all the distractions of me coughing and things like that.
No. Sorry.
On Saturday, we got PWP's Chained Chaos. That is this Saturday, as I said already. I'm going to say it twice.
Nice you have to say it three times.
I'm going to say it thrice Saturday. The National Guard Armory, that is going to be on 2415 East Canesville Boulevard. Canesville. Bow now, bow now, now. Bow now, now. When he leaves his house for work and his garage opens. Bow now. Get it? That was a dumb-ass joke. In Council Bluffs, Iowa is the place of PWP's Chained Chaos. This is like Kane is about Chained Chaos.
Yeah, it's Pro Wrestling Phoenix.
I feel like Kane's gonna be there. The main event's gonna be a dog collar match. There you go, part of the Chainsaw King taking on Darren Thunder Russell. Also, the PWP Heavyweight Championship will be on the line as Abu Colossus takes on Babyface. He's not a baby. I don't know if he maybe is a baby, but this is his nickname, Babyface. Tony Cortez. That's his nickname. Doors open at 6:30.
What's going to happen when he turns heel?
I don't know.
Baby heel.
Mm. Heel Tony Cortez?
Maybe.
It's done before. Bell time's at 7. Tickets, $10. You can get them right now at PayPal at www.pwplive.net.
Then also coming up this Saturday, Smash Mouth Pro Wrestling's Bowling Alley Brawl number 2. Saturday at April 25th. Inman's Bowling and Recreation, that's at 3201 Evans Avenue in Valparaiso, Indiana. And, of course, you can just look that up on their Facebook. Also,
we can't pronounce names, we just say, look up on Facebook.
Look how clever we are.
Just look at it and just type it and then pronounce it however you want to pronounce it. But anyways, two matches announced. SPW World title on the line as the champion Drew Skills takes on former WWE and Impact superstar Shannon Moore.
Cool.
And at the last show that they had, he actually took on Bushwhacker Luke. So, you know, he's done quite a role.
Getting that work.
For that as well.
Bushwhacker Luke's a Hall of Famer.
He is. So he's beating a Hall of Famer, and he might beat another one if Shannon Moore gets in the Hall of Fame anytime soon. But right now, also announced on the card, SBW North American Championship. It's a triple threat. Including former WWE superstar Rob Conway. He'll be there. Challenger Apollo Starr will be there as well in the match. And the champion Remy Wilkins will be putting the belt on the line against the two of those. And doors open at 6:30, bell time at 7:30, an hour later. Tickets are $15 for the front row. Second and third row are $12. General admission is $10. And kids 10 and under are $5. So you got your ticket prices listed there for you. More information online, like their like the location in Indiana, which I cannot pronounce. That's at Smash Mouth Pro Wrestling. Go check it out this Saturday, the Bowling Alley Brawl number dos.
Of course, those aren't just the only shows going on this week. And, of course, UPW's got a big show. Ring of Honor's up in Hopkins, Minnesota. There's shows all over the place. You can find them on our Facebook. You can find them on the Twitter.
You can find them on also our website, www.graveltalkpodcast.weebly.com.
You got it.
Is that right?
Wow, that's a lot of dots.
I don't go there often.
But
when I do go there, I always drink Dos Equis.
Nice.
That is definitely copyright infringement.
It definitely is. Just got sued.
But, guys, lots to talk about, obviously. But first, before we even get into anything national news, can we just talk about how awesome ACW was?
Oh, we can talk about how awesome it was.
Can we talk about how awesome Sadist versus – we're going to talk with, you know, Dylan about this. But, man, Sadist versus Avalon was arguably the best independent match I've seen in a while.
It was good. It was one of those matches where the crowd, it was definitely divided. Like, the Oshkosh faithful loved Sadist to death, while the Milwaukee guys, the Front Row Mafia, all these guys loved the living hell out of Avalon. It was a very, you know, I'm still getting goosebumps thinking about it right now. It was definitely a very electric crowd, and they came out there and they busted their ass 110% for everyone that came out there. If you get an opportunity to pick this up on DVD, get a chance to watch it, man. You're going to love what these two guys did, because it's up there with some of the matches you see on a pay-per-view.
It just wows me that these two guys, you know, from this area, and they're just, you know, working on the weekends, doing these shows and things like that, and they're able to put something together like that that kept me on the edge of my seat as, you know, something I'd see on the WWE Network. It's crazy.
That's like, definitely, if you take enough pride in your craft and you want to go out there and let it all hang out, it's going to show. It's going to show time in, time out.
Well, the best part about it, too, is before the show started, you know, we saw the guys in the ring, and you know that they're just, like, this isn't a job to them. I mean, I know they're getting paid for, you know, obviously, you know, it's not like a full-time gig or anything, but, I mean, like, you can tell that they're just having fun out there. Like, they're just doing something they enjoy doing. Like, you know, before the match, when they were just prancing around the ring, getting crowd reactions, you could just see it in Avalon and Sadist's face. Like, they just love what they do, and that's, like, you know, what's so cool about it is it's not like, you know, sometimes there's always the question marks when you watch guys on, like, the professional scene and the big stage. It's like, are they just doing this for the money? Do they really like doing this? Are they, you know, are they depressed like Punk was when he talked about it? He was all depressed and stuff like that. Are they really happy with what they're doing? And then when you talk to these guys after the show, it's like there's nothing they would rather be doing on any night of the week than what they just did. And that's what you see. And when they're in the ring, it's like you can tell.
Absolutely, and I mean, I think one of the best parts about that match as well was 6 days beforehand they wrestled over in Waukesha. And, I mean, if you look at the two matches, yeah, there are going to be some similarities. But overall, two different matches that they, you know, had and, you know, two different great matches. And I think this one was definitely the warmed-up version. I mean, I think the first show was a bit of a warm-up and getting themselves kind of back in the swing of working each other. And then, you know, they just killed it on Friday. Yeah. It was a great match.
No, I'm just going to...
Go ahead. I jumped right on you. I apologize. You know, we got to get back in the swing of this, too. Yeah. It was cool because, like, Avalon and the guy's been tearing it up for the last year and a half. And Sadist, like, when you look at him, when you see his intensity in the ring, like, he brings it 110%. It's like, it's going back to God, like, someone had said, like, your art always shows when you put enough heart into it. And it definitely in this match, man, both of these guys definitely put their hearts into it and really showed in their art.
Yeah. I'm also just going to say this right now. I'm going to put this out there because we haven't mentioned him in a while, and it's been a while since he's been mentioned in a podcast. I'm going to say, I think Colin Brooks, I know that he likes CM Punk a lot, but, dude, that guy sells like Ziggler. Like, I seriously think, if you want to compare it to national scale, I swear every time I see Colin Brooks in the ring, I think he breaks his neck.
He's like one of those wacky inflatable arm tube guys, you know, he gets hit and he's like, whoa!
Whoa! And I'm like, yeah. Oh my God, I think he's dead! Like, yeah. I'm on commentary, like, literally worried. I'm like, should we call somebody? Good job by him, though. I mean, that's fantastic that he's able to do stuff like that. But, man, I just wanted to say that because, you know, I haven't seen him for a couple months and then I got to see him, you know, at the show.
So every time you see him, are you worried that he's going to die?
Yeah. I worry for his life.
You're like, hey, good to see you again. And he's dead.
I don't worry for anything. I'm like, man, I want to see you get folded up like an accordion because it's that wow factor.
And he's still giving us grief about voting Tyler Sunday as
still
the
giving us grief.
Rookie of the Year.
Yeah. Still giving us grief about that. I remember hearing that before he left.
Well, hopefully he doesn't curb stomp us anytime soon.
Yeah, well, I mean, talking about curb stomp, that's not legal on the national scale, so he can kind of use that to his advantage, I guess, because now it can be more like he's not Seth Rollins anymore.
Yeah, but the move is always going to be associated with Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was the only one that was doing it. And now he can't do it.
So what brings this up? Like, all of a sudden, the guy gets over, like, $1 million with a move, and then they decide all the out of the blue, we can't do this because of wrestler safety.
I read something online that was just, like, concussions and the idea of head trauma and things like that, which is just weird because, you know, guys are punching each other in the face anyways, kneeing each other in the face. Dean Ambrose knees people in the face. Daniel Bryan flying knees people in the face. Super kicks are still hot. Like, it's like, it doesn't make sense. I don't know if it's also just the idea that it's called, like, when I first heard it was called a curb stomp, like, there are a couple things that I thought of, and I was like, oh, that's kind of racy a little bit. But, you know, it's, I don't know. I just don't think it's like any, I don't know if they're worried about guys not being able to protect themselves or something. When I'm pretty sure Seth Rollins isn't the guy driving their heads in the mat, I'm pretty sure that's kind of on both sides there. So it's not like he's actually like, eat the fucking canvas, bitch. Probably like, and now I'm going to go lightly on your head and you're going to do the rest. Like, I'm assuming that's kind of how it is. But it kind of, it's a great finisher because it's simple, yet it makes a lot of sense. It's like, dude, if you just, like, crushed a dude's skull in the mat, it's like, it's a very realistic finisher. It's a really cool move and it can come out of nowhere. That's the best part about RKOs. That's why they're so over. It's because it can happen like that. You know, it's like a fucking pedigree where it's like, I'm the game.
Kick and set
10-minute setup for the pedigree, brother. It's like, okay. Because by the time, you know, he's halfway through setting it up, you're like, all right, well, he's going to fucking hit the pedigree. You know, it's like, whatever. But, yeah, I don't know. It sucks.
Absolutely. I mean, it's interesting, too, because, you know, once this announcement happened of the WWE that they're, you know, banning the curb stomp and they were getting rid of all traces almost from, like, hype packages, etc., it's interesting because the internet community came out and they were saying, you know, why are they banning it? It's a face bump. And that's what it is. I mean, it's like you said, it's pretty much Rollins putting his foot on, you know, on the neck / upper back area and just kind of pressing him down. But at the end of the day, it's the guy that's going to land on his head or on the side of his face so he doesn't, you know, break his nose or anything like that. And it, like you said, I mean, when I first heard a curb stomp, I was thinking, oh, so he's going to stomp, you know, his jaw on, you know, the apron and, you know, break his jaw or something like that or knock out some teeth. But once I actually saw it in play, it's like, oh, that's not bad. That's not a horrible move. That's, you know, it's efficient and it works and it seems relatively safe. So, I mean, I was in the same boat, too. I was thinking that why are they getting rid of this? It's not something that's really dangerous. And, I mean, Jesse, you were making some really good points about, you know, like Nick said, if they might as well throw out punches, they might as well throw out some DDTs as well.
Yeah, it's like get rid of the DDT, get rid of anything that's going to consider, you know, whiplash, you know, like that. You get a lot of concussions based on whiplash, not so much the impact these days. I don't know. It's kind of weird. I could actually see it where they turn it into possibly you tease it. It's outlawed now, much like the pile driver, right? It just brings up the devastation of the move. And it's kind of weird, though, because, like, every time we see the curb stomp on the indie scene, it's always a two count.
Right.
That's bogus, man.
Right.
It's like, how can a move that's a finisher on a national scene be a two count somewhere else?
Right.
You know, that's kind of bogus. So hopefully, you know, a lot of people realize, man, this move's really dangerous now. So if I hit it, I should be able to get a three count off of it. Or maybe get the guy to stay down for 10 seconds, you know, like something like that. You know, that'd be great. You know, is it like a double, it's a double-edged sword all the way. I could see if, like, they wanted to protect, you know, kids from curb-stomping each other, which, you know, is great. But at the same time, though, I think a lot of people understand that, hey, you know, this is entertainment.
Yeah.
And they're not going to go out there and curb-stomp each other on the curbs or on the ring mat or in a schoolyard or in a schoolroom or, like, at a restaurant or at a Burger King or at an Arby's or something like that. It's just like, the way it goes. Is it unfortunate? Yeah, because I guess his new finisher is just the drizzling shits, but, you know, that's the way it kind of goes. But, you know, hey, Rollins is a team player. Maybe next time, you know, maybe just come up with a better name than a curb stomp. He could have called it, you know,
the Face Smasher.
I wouldn't call it the Face Smasher.
Like, it definitely wouldn't have gotten banned.
Are you Mr. Generic over here?
Mr. Generic, AC Riley.
Mr. Generic. Here's my finishing maneuver. I'm not going to call it a spear. I'm going to call it a running shoulder tackle.
Yeah.
My
or
running.
Instead of like calling it a hip toss, you're like, I'm going to float you over.
That would be kind of a funny gimmick, but at the same time, it'd be really
boring. Or Samoan drops, like, I'm going to put you on my shoulders and just lay it out.
This is I'm not going to hit you with a drop kick. I'm going to hit you with a jumping feet to the face. No, but it's weird, though, too, because, you know, it's kind of cool, though, because, you know, like, when Orton ever teases the punt, you're like, oh, shit.
That's when you know stuff is going to go down, so hopefully it could be something like that now. And it'll be interesting to see how it plays out the next 6 to 8 months.
Yeah. It will be very interesting. Well,
it'll be interesting for sure.
Else is interesting is coming up. We're sitting down and we're talking wrestling, and it's a great interview. You're not going to want to miss it. It's one of the great minds in Wisconsin wrestling. ACW's owner Dylan Postel coming on, talking Oshkosh pro wrestling
because it's weird there.
It's weird.
Yeah, Oshkosh like to keep things weird.
Oh yeah, that's like their whole.
That's
thing.
Their tag, man.
Their tag.
It's on bumper stickers.
Bumper sticker. Put that bumper sticker on there.
This ain't porn talk.
That was me licking the bumper sticker. Isn't that how they work? You lick
no,
them?
No. I'm pretty sure you like licked it, and then you like you smacked it like it was someone's bumper.
No, I thought bumpers were like stamps. Bumper stickers, like a stamp. Like you put this.
You're a tramp.
You put this a stamp tramp. You can talk over here. You're just done.
I'm just perplexed about what you're doing.
Whatever, generic.
Everybody thinks that we are a porn podcast.
Generic,
thanks
AC
a lot,
Riley. Generic.
Porn star Nick Ragnar.
Generic Riley.
Porn man Nikki Duchesne.
I like it.
Duchesne all over the people.
Why, so he's cleansing them?
Am I cleaning them with my douche?
No, he's douching them, just not in a clean way, in a porn way. Did you catch my drift?
Nope.
No, not at all. Well, anyhow, that interview with Dylan Postel coming up next right here on Grapple Talk. Hold on for a second. If words can be weapons, then what I say can affect it. They're not just words on a record, and I can choose to respect it or choose to infect it. But once it hits the water, it's too late to be selective. 'Cause one voice is enough to make sleeping giants wake up, to make armies put their hands up and watch whole nations stand up. It's one belief, one spark, one faith, and one restart. And we can reboot the whole chart before it all falls apart. Shout it out, put them in the air if you like it loud. We only got one shot, so let's make a count. It's a takedown, nobody can stop us now. Stand up, shout it out, sing it loud so the world can't drown us out. And before we depart, let's leave a mark, 'cause light shines brighter in the dark. When we scream, our lips don't make a sound. We march with feet on solid ground. For a moment, if we're not scared of opponents, then with what we have, we can own it. We'll just plant the seed and keep growing. And when that light shines in the morning, they'll still be waking up yawning. We'll be smiling like we expected. We'll speak victory in one method. 'Cause one voice is enough to make sleeping giants wake up, to make armies put their hands up and watch whole nations stand up. It's one belief, one spark, one faith, and one restart. We can reboot the whole chart before it all falls apart. Stand up, shout it out, put them in the air if you like it loud. We only got one shot, so let's make a count. It's a takedown, nobody can stop us now. Stand up, shout it out, sing it loud so the world can't drown us out. And before we depart, let's leave a mark, 'cause light shines brighter in the dark. When we scream, our lips don't make a sound. We march with fear.
hits the water, it's too late to be selective. Cause one voice is enough to make sleeping giants wake up, to make armies put their hands up and watch whole nations stand up. It's one belief, one spark, one faith and one restart. And we can reboot the whole chart before it all falls apart. When we scream, our lips don't make a sound. We march with feet on solid ground. We walk where no one wants to go on this untraveled road. When we scream, our lips don't make a sound. We march with feet on solid ground. We walk where no one wants to go on this untraveled.
It's not about the shoes. It's about knowing where you're going. Not forgetting where you started. It's about having the courage to fail. Not breaking when you're broken. Taking everything you've been given and making something better. It's about work before glory. And what's inside of you is doing what they say you can't. It's not about the shoes. It's about what you do in them. It's about being who you were born to be.
What's up, guys? This is professional wrestler Rennie D.
And this is Travis Dirty Mester.
We're the hosts of The Pencil, the professional wrestling podcast every Tuesday.
On iTunes, YouTube, Podbean, and Stitcher.
We bring you guests from the WWE, TNA, and all the major independent wrestling promotions around the world.
Follow us on Twitter at Pencil Podcast or on the World Wide Web, PencilPodcast.com.
Ryan Yanishadis here from the Ringside Report to remind you to watch the Ringside Report every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 6 p.m. on YouTube. Brandon McGrath and I discuss WWE, TNA, and the local independent scene. Go to youtube.com/RB Enterprises. That is the Ringside Report, your front row seat to all things wrestling.
Hey, this is Raging Nathan Gust. You are listening to Grapple Talk, where they are raging 25-8.
And now, the moment you've been waiting for. It's Spotlight in the Squared Circle.
We're sitting down with ACW owner Dylan Postel. And Dylan, thanks for joining us in the Spotlight.
Hey, AV Nerds, what's up?
Hey, we're doing all right. How you doing?
Still coming off of the show last Friday, but I'm doing quite well.
Yeah, it was a huge show, Dylan. I just got to know, you know, man, from your perspective. I mean, your shows have been drawing like crazy these past these past few months. You know, what's I guess going through your mind as you kind of notice, you know, that Oshkosh is just becoming a hotbed for that product.
So when I was about 13, that's 15 years ago now. I'm old as dirt. not as old as Jesse, but I'm getting up there.
Yeah,
he's
pretty old. Yeah, you get there one of these days.
But no, like when I was about that age, the indie wrestling was huge in Oshkosh. At the Eagles Club, where I ran one show, we ran one show. It's now called the Electric Lounge or Lizard Lounge. I forget what it's called now. The owners can't get their heads out of the rear ends and actually make it a decent venue again. Because it's an amazing, it reminds me of the old ECW arenas. Oh. But with this, with the current state of wrestling in Oshkosh, we've made it what it was once again. And it is absolutely unreal. I look at Weimer, who's my partner in all of this, Josh, and he is to thank for everything just as much as myself in all reality. He's the business side of it, the money, the, no, Dylan, you're making a dumb mistake. No, don't waste your money on that. Here's this. Okay, we're spending too much on this. Thank God for him. Otherwise, we would be in the hole a few grand by now. But we're making it. I mean, Scott Pat the ring announcer, who is by far the best ring announcer in the area, bar none, he made a good point. Like, this last show, it really showed. Even just the first half, before Sadus and Avalon, even just the first half showed that this crowd is unreal. And our following is becoming such a big deal nowadays. It's crazy. And it's crazy to me because I ran back in 08 up in Depeer, now where WPW runs, and it just didn't work out. And I didn't have the passion like I do now either. I was putting too many eggs in other people's baskets and letting too many people have a hand in what we were doing at the time for ACW then, NWA Wisconsin. And now it is literally me and Weimer doing it all. Like, for company-wise, it's becoming a revolution. And I keep using that word, and you'll hear me with this podcast use it a lot, for sure. We are making ACW a legitimate revolution when it comes to Oshkosh. People thought, oh, okay, here he is in, you know, the spot that he's in the career that he's in. He's just trying to make his extra money. If it was about the money, believe me, you guys know as well as I do, we don't make money in independent wrestling.
Nope.
this is truly about giving guys opportunity and putting on damn good wrestling shows. And for now, going on eight times, we've put on damn good wrestling shows.
You're damn right. You've been putting on a lot of great independent shows. You talk about that following. Is that, you know, this is not the first venue you guys have had in the at the Masonic Center. And what's impressive is that the crowd seemed to get bigger and bigger, and you keep outgrowing the venue. Is that something that you anticipated at the first ACW show?
So this is what's been happening with the venues, and this is some people know, some people don't. We had the worst luck with venues. We started at a place called Timbuktu. In Oshkosh. 2 weeks before show number two, the place burns down. Okay, what do we do? Let's go to the old Eagles Club. Okay, we promote there. We got to change the place, change all this. The crappy owners there don't have a liquor license, don't have an owner's permit, don't have a business permit. They can't sell a darn thing. Okay, so now we got to cater the food there, cater and get beverages, but we still can't do booze and beer or anything. You guys know as well as I do, especially for independent wrestling, fans need beer or booze or something.
It's the social lubrication, you know? That's what they really need.
Exactly. It makes, it makes it a little more fun. But they came out still. We had about 250 that night just to see wrestling. And then we had a heck of an after party. Then that place, we didn't want to work with them anymore because they had their heads up their butts and were just very sketchy and shady about it. So we went to the Elks Lodge. Awesome people. I would go back there in a heartbeat again. But for 3 and 4, we did there, and we were about 2 people away from turning people away at the door. And I always said to Weimer, I never want to turn people away. It's a good feeling to have, but it's also not good for business because now you're upsetting these guys. You're leaving a sour taste in their mouth. I never, ever want to turn people away. So then we found the Masonic Center, which I was very worried about because they didn't return my calls, they didn't return anything. And then they finally said, yep, we're good to go. Awesome. And now we found our home. And now we're kind of outgrowing this place. So now it's like, oh, man, if we outgrow this anymore, where are we going to go next? Like, there's not much more in Oshkosh, and I never want to go anywhere else. This is my hometown. This is where I'm born and raised. I have my son, my family, my friends all here. It's such a community city, too, and that's what I'm doing it for. I'm bringing wrestling to the community. Guy Adam Grace is graduating this year from high school. He drew 43 people pre-sale, which is incredible, just to come see him wrestle. That makes me feel happy. When I was sitting and when I was standing downstairs and watching people come in, And just 90% of them were Adam Grace fans, and they had, you know, and 50 of them had Adam Grace shirts and all this. I was blown away. I walked up to him. I said, right before he went out, and I know I've taken him under my wing. I love that kid to death, man. He's turned into a really good kid, a really, really good kid. Sometimes he doesn't have a brain in his head, some of the things, but I blame it on high school. But, I said to him, I walked up, I said, tonight is your night. You did this. This whole show is for you. And you and him tore it up. You guys had a heck of a match, and I was very surprised not about how good it was, but it was better than I even thought it would be. It was very good, and especially with having to follow what you guys did, man, probably easily, and I'll say this, and I don't care what promoter gets upset about it, that was the best independent match that will happen this year.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie.
In Sadus and Avalon, and that is the best independent match that's happened in the last 5 years in the state.
I won't lie to you. I know we talked about this at the after party, Dylan, was, you know, with Avalon and Sadus, they tore it up for, you know, the time that they were out there, and I was freaking out in the back. I was thinking, we have to follow this. But the second that we went out there and the second that Adam got out there, you know, it was almost like just it was a reset button. So, I mean, that was crazy. I mean, like you said, the 43 people that were there to see Adam, and, you know, they definitely
Weimer and I have a running joke where if stuff's going too long, we look at our imaginary watches, and we kind of give each other a look like, okay, take it home. Come on. During Avalon and Sadus, I looked at my watch, I looked at him, and I proceeded to say a curse word, and I go, F it. Because he goes, yeah, because it was 15 minutes in, and they're still doing chants. They haven't even locked up. They're still, the fans are still just chanting, and we're 15 minutes in. I would love to know the final match time from Jesse or something at some point, because that, it had to be 38 minutes. It had, I told them it was about 35, 38 minutes, because they went for a long time. But like I said, it was so good. It was, that's the most electric a crowd has ever been, ever, for an independent match.
Right.
I don't care what promotion, I don't care who you are, the most electric ever for a crowd.
Yeah, and it was funny because me and Jesse are sitting there on commentary, and, you know, you're playing a character at some point on commentary, but at the same time, I'm sitting there telling him, you know, I don't care if this match ever ends, and I was being completely honest when I was saying
100%.
That because
I knew the finish was coming. I saw the setup, and I was like, man, this is going to really get over. And then I thought, man, these people with this finish might riot because of how good it was coming off. I was like, oh, this will either get really good or these people might rush the ring here. But it was, man, it was so good. I couldn't. I said to you guys at the after the party as well, it was supposed to be a throwaway show, and this shows that never will ACW put out a throwaway show.
That's
we will never
true.
Have one of these shows that you can don't care if you skip that one. Because I thought it was such a nice day out. It was 78 degrees that day, and I was like, we're going to have no walk-up. We had a lot of pre-sale. We did a decent amount of pre-sale. I said, we're not going to have any walk-up. We ended up having about 50 walk-ups, which is incredible. For to have 50 walk-ups, period, and plus our pre-sale. It's incredible.
That's definitely true.
So,
a lot of promotions are even lucky to have 50 people just walk up day of, but you guys had it that night. Going through the card, one of the guys we got to talk about is your heavyweight champion right now, and that's Nick Colucci. This guy's really stepped up his game to another level. I got to ask you, when you guys were putting together the ACW roster, what made Nick Colucci really stand out as a guy you wanted to put that strap on, really kind of highlight?
Let me tell you this. I hate calling him Nick Colucci. His name is Josh Binder to me, a guy that I've known since kindergarten, one of my best friends. I can't say enough good things about the kid. I always call these guys kids. I was going to say about the kid, but he's older than me. How he hasn't gotten a shot in a Ring of Honor is beyond me. And I've tried, but he doesn't believe in himself. And that's the hard biggest thing in this game is you got to believe in yourself. You got to know that you're good. He knows that he's good, but then a day goes past and he's like, it was okay. That guy, and I swear on my son, he is one of the top three in the state right now. Top three in the state right now are him, Avalon, and Sadus. Easily, I don't care. I will argue till I'm blue in the face. And being where I'm at, I have a pretty darn good argument too. But he mentally, psychologically, and in-ring, one of the best in the state he is. He's afraid of his own shadow. I love the guy, and I tell him daily, you're afraid of your own shadow. You get out there and you... that's why we always, when we give him like pre-show promos, we always have Scotty and Seth take the mic away from him because he can't talk yet. And he's been in the business... my God, since 2003, him and I got in 2003. So
so 12 years. And it's something that he's never been able to crack. But it's, like I said, he's one of the most overlooked guys in the state, which is sad, but he truly is one of the best in the state. And he's one of my best friends. If it weren't for me, there wouldn't be, if it weren't for him, there wouldn't be an ACW reincarnation again. Him and I, me and Weimer talked, and then he was the first one I went to about it. Him and then Seth Gambino, who was another best friend of mine. Just guys that, and then you got Gotti, who, and you got the Oshkosh crew, who have been my best, who I've known them since elementary school, all of them. And it's always been the four of us just hanging out and working towns and cutting our teeth in the business. And I went my way and they stayed around here, and, but they're killing it. They're absolutely killing it. And they know their shtick, and they're damn good at their shtick. The streamer thing all started as a joke because it was like, a certain long blonde mullet haired, curly haired, guy that used a lot of fake bake and baby oil that did the same match every show, a quote-unquote veteran when I was getting in. He always said, oh, these backyard kids. Yeah, we were. Oh, you know, but then we made it because he said how much he worked in Japan and all this. So what did I do? I gave the Dream Police streamers. These two guys who, you know, are a comedy act, but then can go. But they're great at comedy. I gave them streamers. And it was pretty much like a flip in the bird, you know, giving this guy double birds as to, you know what, I'm going to get these two over. And I'm going to get them getting streamers and getting them, people buying streamers from them. And look at you. You never got streamers in Japan, of all places. So what is this showing? They're obviously not that terrible. So, but going back to Kaluchi, obviously with the heavyweight title, man, he's the forerunner for it. Hometown guy. Guy can get behind him. I'm not going to spoil anything, but we're going to have some fun with this heavyweight title coming out, that's for sure.
That's definitely something to look forward to. And one thing to always look forward to ACW, too, is you're kind of just talking about it, but the talent on the card just from, you know, not just, you know, talking about Kaluchi or, you know, Adam Price,
man.
Or Sadis. I mean, it's great from
you
top.
Look at him.
Yeah, the entire card's great. I mean, you know, how do you find a lot of these guys? I mean, just because, like I said, it's a great
mix. It's a common thing. It's probably going to be a two-part podcast by the way I'm rambling, by the way. which, if you guys don't mind, I don't care whatsoever.
Well,
but,
you know, Alex is the guy editing it, so he might not sleep for the next 2 days, which is fine
with
me.
That was fine by me. No, with the guys, there's always a joke about, you know, the inner circle of guys and, you know, the guys that are my best friends and that. Here's the thing. This is the most non-click locker room in the state. There's no clicks. Guys from up north hang out with guys from down south, who hang out with Oshkosh guys, who hang out with trainees, who hang out with guys that are just starting and debuting, and there's guys that are just coming in for the first time hanging out with all of them. And that's just the after party. Locker rooms, it's the exact same, but it's so crazy to me that we have this roster that has everything. We have comedy. We have hardcore. We have brawling. We have, again, more ha-ha, but then we have wrestling. I will never book a show that doesn't have all the parts. We put a 300-pound guy, jacked as can be, managing a chick, and the guy is wearing a dress. And he's one of the most over acts on our show. Because, and that's something a lot of promoters don't see as well, is what's their city? Like, what's their market? And being where I'm at, I kind of sense that more in different markets. And I see Oshkosh is a very entertainment crowd with wrestling thrown in. They want entertainment. They want to see stuff. And then they want to see a story. But then they'll go for some wrestling, too. Oshkosh was always a very ECW and Attitude Era crowd, which is a very different mix of the two, if you think about it, because ECW was about the wrestling, about the hardcore. Attitude Era was about the characters. So I have to give them, on ACW shows, a mixture of both. And I really think, top to bottom, our roster has everything. Where it lacks in wrestling, it makes up for in comedy. And where it lacks in comedy, it makes up for brawling. And it's a constant triangle of all three. And I think that I mean, our locker room, honestly, I couldn't be happier. We have guys busting their asses with pre-sales, and if they're not selling pre-sales, they're making up for it in the ring.
100%. And talking about just the talent that you guys have, I mean, at this last show, you announced you're starting up a camp up in Oshkosh, which is, you know, great news because there's honestly not a lot of places, you know, for guys to go, especially when they're trying to get trained in Wisconsin. That's something that we kind of ran into. So kind of talk about the camp you guys are offering. You forgot
a certain word, reputable places.
That is true. That's
the certain word you forgot there. I got trained by Shane Hills. I owe a lot of what I have to Shane Hills. He was running a camp out in Manitowoc, Two Rivers area, which for, you know, guys in the Fox Valley, it's kind of a hike, and he was doing great, but I wanted to give these local guys who come to me saying, man, is there anywhere I can go to train? And I'd send them to Shane, and they'd be like, oh, that's a hell of a drive, you know, that's, you know, 2 hours each way, you know, just for, you know, a couple hour camp every week, and I'm not making money. I'm paying the gas money, obviously, and they're paying for camp. So I said to Weimer, I said, man, let's open a camp. I said, let's start this thing up and let's get this thing going right. He goes, really? You want to do this? I go, let's do it. He goes, all right. So we looked for a building. We found one in North Fond du Lac. It's the first exit between Oshkosh and Fond du Lac, so it's awesome. It's 18 minutes from my house, so it's real easy. And we're doing it right. We're doing it bare bones all the way through. We have a group of 8 to 10 guys right now that want it, and that want it very badly. And we have some that are falling behind, and we have some that are excelling beyond belief. And obviously you guys know him as Balcony Bogger, one of our front row fans, biggest, you know, a good buddy of mine. He said to me a couple weeks before camp, because I'm going to try the training thing. Another friend of ours, Mike. Yeah, I'm going to try it too. And they were just joking around about it. Oshkosh Plays, that was going to be their name. But they showed up, and every week they have blown it out of the water. They have done so good, and I'm so proud of them, as well as every one of our trainees. And that's thanks to Gus and Seth and Colucci and Burnt and all the, and Gotti and Jonathan Smash coming in and guys like Tyler Jackson and a lot. I'm getting guys wanting to help out with camp, to train these guys. Now, what does that say about how we're doing business? If random other people are saying, I really want to check out your camp because I heard you're doing awesome things, that makes me feel happy as heck. Because if we're doing good things and other people want to just come just to check it out, we must be doing something right. And it's, again, it's not about making money. It's about, hey, I got this opportunity. Colucci got this opportunity. Seth and all these guys that I came up with, Dredd got this opportunity. I want to give this to other people now. I want to make them learn and learn the correct way. And it's going amazingly. I couldn't be happier with what we have going. We're in week 5 this week, and I don't see it stopping anytime soon.
Definitely, it sounds like the future is bright for ACW. We got to wrap things up here. That's just the nature of the beast, but contact information. If anyone wants to join the camp, how can they get a hold of you to join the camp?
What they can do is we're actually closing this session for right now, and then we're going to start up at the beginning of summer our second class, just so we don't have guys continuously starting over and, you know, falling behind and this, that, and the other thing. What we can do is get a hold of us on Facebook at facebook.com/ACW Wisconsin. Message us directly on there. Otherwise, email us at acwwisconsin@gmail.com. Email us on there about tickets, about pre-sale tickets, which I got to mention, too. Pre-sales for any of our shows, we sold out our front row seats. 52 front row seats sold out in a day, which, for not bringing in a name, just having local talent, I can't name another company that sells out front row in a day. It doesn't happen. And if you're bringing in a former WWE superstar or, you know, ECW guy or TNA guy, it's one thing. But we're doing it on local talent alone. And to have these fans come out for that is incredible. So even for tickets, for sponsorships, for upcoming events, if you want to have us come to your town or come to your place or anything, contact us at facebook.com/ACW Wisconsin or email us at ACW Wisconsin@gmail.com or about our camp, about our training center, about coming out to visit us, about anything, just contact us on there. And like you said, the sky's the limit right now. It's really going well, and I don't see us stopping anytime soon. We already have June, September, and December dates set. And we're not going to oversaturate Oshkosh either. We're not going to run every month. That's just not good for a city like Oshkosh. You know, you're going to oversaturate the market, and you're going to start losing crowds because they don't really think they need to go to every show. So, but I'll tell you this: December we have something big planned for our 2-year anniversary, which is awesome in itself. That too, we've already been doing it for 2 years. But June 19th is our next show. Headlining will be Nick Colucci teaming with Sadist against Avalon and Chase McCoy in a huge tag team main event. And then we have two triple threats for each of the tag team titles, and one of them is Seth Gambino versus Nathan Gust versus Brock Hall, and the other one is Don Gotti versus Justin Dredd versus Colin Brooks. Also, obviously, Adam Grace. We're actually just announcing this today. Adam Grace versus Stacy Shadows will be a huge show, a huge match as well for both of them to kind of show their colors. But guys, I want to thank you guys very much for letting me spread the word of ACW. As cliche as it is to say, let me spread the word. And also thank you guys for always coming out and always doing a great job with AV stuff. Jordy Lee actually just posted something that I've been wanting to post for a while. Is we cannot believe the amount of work you guys put into these DVDs, Jesse and Nick and Ryan and Riley. I'm sure you do a little bit too, I guess. But the quality of these DVDs is absolutely unreal. And so thank you guys very much for always showing up and always being ready to put on, you know, help us put on a really good show.
Hey, it's always easy when you have a great product in front of you. It's just time in, time out. So
I appreciate that very much. Thank you guys very much for this opportunity.
Well, June 19th, we'll be there. It's going to be a great card. And that was Dylan Postel of ACW. We'll be right back with more Grapple Talk right after this.
Hey, Grapple Talk listeners. This is Chris from Spot Monkey Media. And we have an Indiegogo crowdfunding campaign going on right now, which you can find out about on Grapple Talk's Facebook page. We have a lot of cool perks, including a WrestlePalooza 6 fan package, which includes 2 tickets to First Wrestling's WrestlePalooza 6 event in Minneapolis, Minnesota on June 20th. It also comes with an official WrestlePalooza t-shirt. So check that out and many other cool perks. Go to Grapple Talk's Facebook page and remember to support good independent wrestling. Now let's go back to the show. Just kidding, it's still me. Alright, transition now.
You're listening to Grapple Talk.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Keeping you up.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Keeping you up.
Yes! 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 Yes!
Keeping you up to date on Midwestern independent wrestling.
Why do I love professional wrestling? I love the incredible action.
The awesome stories.
The larger-than-life characters.
I've been watching wrestling since I was a little kid. And believe me, it's been a long time.
It's good triumphing over evil.
It's having a hero to cheer for and a villain to boo.
It's something that can bring the whole family together.
So who does this stuff? Who is wrestling?
It's the wrestlers who chase their dreams to make it. From the couch to the square circle.
The ref!
The managers!
And the commentators who add to the spectacle.
It's the fans who bring their energy,
their passion, and their love to the arenas.
Who am I?
Who am I?
Who am I?
Who am I?
Who am I? Who am I? Who am I?
I am wrestling!
I am wrestling.
I am wrestling.
I am wrestling.
I am wrestling. I am wrestling.
I am wrestling.
I am wrestling.
I am wrestling.
Who am I? I am wrestling.
This movement is a worldwide movement. I am wrestling represents you, the wrestlers, you, the fans, and you, the wrestling company, worldwide. Wait no longer. Join now.
Hello, wrestling fans. Colt Cabana coming to you live from the 1 Hour Tease Arena in beautiful Chicago, Illinois. The pro wrestling action has been great so far. As you can see, Joey really dominating the ring so far. There's a beautiful belly-to-back suplex. And uh-oh. Looks like Joey's shirt has been ripped.
What's up with that? You ripped my shirt.
Let's go check an instant replay, see exactly what happened. There you can see Joey's shirt ripped from the collar, and that's not good when you're trying to wear your pro wrestling t-shirt.
Man, you ripped my shirt. It's my only shirt. Joey.
Hey, it looks like Ryan from 1 Hour Tees just threw Joey Ryan a brand new t-shirt.
Thanks, Pro Wrestling Tees.
ProWrestlingTees.com, over 3,000 wrestling t-shirts designed and sold by pro wrestlers. Wrestlers such as Steve Austin, CM Punk, Macho Man, Mick Foley, DDP, Andre the Giant, Jake the Snake, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Scott Hall, Ted DiBiase, Colt Cabana, Joey Ryan, Cliff Compton, and the entire Bullet Club. All stores owned by pro wrestlers. Support pro wrestling today and visit ProWrestlingTees.com.
Tune into the Indie Power Rankings reveal every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio, Filling the Void Radio Network. You can also subscribe to Filling the Void Radio Network on iTunes. Give a follow to the Indie Power Rankings on Twitter at Indie Power Ranking, no GS. Instagram at Indie Power Rankings. On Facebook, facebook.com/IndiePowerRankings. You can also go to the website where you can see the top 10 for the week, the tag team top 5, anything else independent wrestling related, IndiePowerRankingsIPR.wordpress.com.
This is the monster of the Midwest, Sadist. There's a couple of things I really, really like. I like to hurt people, and I like grapple talk. So I'm going to keep listening.
And what an interview that was, guys, talking to Dylan about ACW just blew my mind. Like, seriously.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Right now. It was a great interview.
Come on, generic rally, is all you're going to give me?
Oh, hey, you're funny.
That was a great generic answer.
That was a great generic answer. Well, you know, speaking of things that aren't generic, you know, they always say, what is that, you don't leave Vegas with things you forget?
What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Yeah, that's what I think it was.
That's another generic tagline.
And right now we got somebody that actually made the trip down there. When was that? Was that a couple weeks ago?
Was it just last week?
Was that last week?
It was last week.
I hibernate sometimes.
I noticed.
And last week there was a big event down in Las Vegas, and we're happy to welcome on Michelle. How are you doing today, Michelle?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Well, we're doing good. And Michelle, for a lot of people that recognize you from the BCW crowds, you guys picked up and went over to Vegas for the week for the Cauliflower Alley
Club.
Club, thank you.
Club.
I was missing the last C. So
the easiest word.
So, cracker.
Yeah, exactly. So, Michelle, tell us a little bit about the experience of the CAC and going down there to Vegas.
Well, the CAC, it's a great organization. I actually didn't know that any funds that they get, like they have a bowling tournament while the CAC is going on that happened on Wednesday. There was a cribbage tournament. I think it started on Monday or Tuesday. I'm not sure. I don't remember. All the money for the entry fees for that goes to their endowment fund that helps out wrestlers or their families that are in need.
That's really cool, Michelle. And, you know, what kind of happened out of it? I know I talked to a couple of people down there. I mean, you know, people saw, you know, Adam Copeland, Edge, I think people saw down there. Brian Kendrick, I think I heard, was also down there. So what kind of happened, I guess, wrestling-wise down in Las Vegas?
Well, Sunday night and Monday night, they have a free wrestling show. So I don't know how many matches. It's a lot of matches that you would, you know, like Frankie runs like maybe six or seven matches, you know, for his show. This was at 13.
Oh.
So it's a long night, but it was fun. Sunday night, I was pretty wiped out from going to the Sean Weber Memorial Show, so didn't get much sleep. So I was pretty tired, and so I don't remember a lot of Sunday. But, I mean, they had good matches, and, you know, it's a different experience. You know, you don't know a lot of these guys, so it's different to see different people. And then Monday night was a really good show. They had Jushin Thunder Liger there. He wrestled.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Yeah. They had a few other matches, and really made the night kind of fun for Dwayne and I, is Lisa Marie Verone, a.k.a. Tara, or Victoria, was sitting in front of us. So she was there enjoying the show. About halfway through, Scott Hall showed up, and he was enjoying the show. It's you know, you see a lot of people, and there's other title matches for some of the companies that run out in California. So that's who actually, like, puts on the show is these, like, there was, like, three or four different companies that came together and put on the show.
Now, the CAC is definitely one of those organizations that does a lot of good work for, as you put it, wrestlers whose family and everything like that might be in dire straits when it comes to, like, medical bills and stuff like that. When you got a chance to go there, you get to see the camaraderie between all the brothers and sisters. Did it just, like, make you just enjoy the scene a lot more? Because you know that each and every one of these guys actually appreciates one another.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, it's cool seeing, like, people came together and saw Nick Bockwinkel. One guy, what Dwayne and I witnessed, is I'm not sure who he was, but they had the 50th anniversary. You could get those Chuck Taylor shoes, and you can have your face put on there if you wanted to, if you pre-ordered them. But he gave a pair to Nick, and his wife was there with them. It was really kind of an emotional thing for Nick. So it's pretty cool to see that. And, you know, you just see a lot of wrestlers, you know, they all love seeing each other. Some of these guys don't see them until the CAC. So it's really cool to see everyone, you know, getting back together and catching up. And so Tuesday we walked they have a nostalgia room. And there's kind of a few people gathered around, and it's Jimmy Hart. I was pretty shocked to see Jimmy Hart, and from my understanding, this was his first CAC.
Now, does he still have that crazy mullet that Jimmy Hart has?
Yeah, he's still got the long black hair.
Obviously, a lot of stuff going on with the CAC. It sounds like it was a blast over in Vegas. And I got to ask, Michelle, do you and Dwayne think that you would be going there next year?
Oh, definitely. We had such a blast. It was such an experience. I would love to see more. They have seminars. Jake the Snake and a guy named Zin Bodhi did one. DDP was supposed to do one, but something with his throat was bothering him, so he ended up canceling. I don't remember who else was doing seminars. Samson was doing I'm not sure where he wrestled out of, but yeah, he did a seminar. So like I said, there's a cribbage tournament. Wednesday is a bowling tournament. Tuesday night is a banquet. And Wednesday night is the formal banquet. So you have to dress up for that one.
So you'll be there next year for sure. So for anybody that was maybe on the fence about going, if they were kind of wondering why they would want to go, what would you tell them to convince them that, you know, it's definitely worth the experience of going?
Well, it's definitely a great experience. I don't know how to explain it, but they have a lot in the nostalgia room. It just, that explains it right there. They have a lot of old memorabilia, older pictures of, you know, like Jake the Snake and Nick Bockwinkel and, you know, Dusty Rhodes and everybody. In fact, there was a painter there. I don't know if you guys have heard of Bob Schamberger, but he was painting a portrait of Kurt Hennig. And at the award ceremony for Wednesday night, he presented that painting to Larry the Axe Henning and his wife Irene.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really a touching moment because we had previously had spoken to Larry, and Dwayne has an old AWA program when he was the heavyweight champion of Kurt Hennig, and Kurt Hennig had signed it for us. So he was like, wow, that's really a collectible. I'm like, yep, we really hold it close and are not going to let that go. So you never know who you're going to see. So it's not like there are set people there. It's not like an autograph signing or anything. I mean, they do have people there that will sign and that. But yeah, it's definitely a neat experience. I don't know how else to explain it, but I would say it's like this was the 50th, so it was a great once-in-a-lifetime experience. I just hope the next one is just as grand.
Michelle, thank you again for coming on, talking with us, sharing your experience at the CAC, and hopefully you'll enjoy the next one and the year after that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We're lifers for that. As long as financially we're able to do it, we're going to do it.
Well, thanks, Michelle, and, you know, that's really cool, obviously, going down to Las Vegas. You know, they always say, whatever happens in Vegas,
sometimes stays in Vegas unless it's memories.
And if not, it gets posted on Facebook.
Memories.
Exactly.
Memories all alone in the moonlight.
Well, I mean, it's something I definitely noticed from that interview talking with Michelle is it's just like when we went to Iowa to the Wrestling Hall of Fame. It's definitely something that if you love wrestling, whether you're a wrestler or a fan or anything, it definitely sounds like the CAC. It sounds like something that you need to go to at least once
right.
in life.
And the cool thing, too, is that I'm not sure if it was mentioned in the interview. I had to take my headphones off a couple of times because I was having coughing fits. But
it happens.
When I talked to Ryan Brown about it on Saturday at AC or on Friday at ACW, he mentioned that actually the wrestlers like the Brian Kendrick and Liger, the guys that actually wrestled on the card, weren't paid either. Like they just came down just to come down and wrestle at this event, which is really cool. You know, like to know that there's these names out there that are willing just to come wrestle there just for the sake of doing it is awesome, because you know normally whenever you think about names and things like that, it's always about money. But it wasn't for these guys; they just wanted to come and put on a good show for people that were coming together for this.
Yeah,
CAC.
Definitely. You hear a lot about ego in the business and stuff like that. It seems like it's a very egoless experience. And if you ever get the opportunity, definitely check them out on they're online, and you can sign up for like a membership fee. There's a lifetime membership fee that's I was talking to JP about it. It's actually really reasonable, and it's a great thing to do. And you love the business, you want to give back, this is a great way to actually make sure the ones that paved the way for everyone who's enjoying wrestling today or even tomorrow can live in some type of comfort, especially in their golden years.
100%.
Yeah, definitely. All right, tape study, guys.
Be kind, rewind. Tape study.
All right, we are going to go across the pond to IPW UK. It was their Super 8 tournament from this past year, September 20th. 2014, Zack Sabre Jr. taking on his tag team partner, Marty Scurll.
Marty Scrotum?
Not Scrotum. Oh. Scurll. All right, but anyhow, this was actually a really nice match because it starts out as a really nice little technical back and forth. And they get into some comedy spots because they're so used to each other as a tag team. About the halfway part, you know, stuff gets a little bit physical and it actually turns into a really great match, a lot of fun. It's one of those things where you guys can really see a lot of cool stuff they're doing with, like, special counters with pins. It's definitely a lot of innovative pinning attempts. It really showcases that, yeah, hey, you know, these two guys are tag team for partners and friends and stuff like that. But still, when you have to go and you can really show that, hey, this tournament is definitely prestigious, they definitely put the balls to the wall. It's a good match. Runs about, like, 25 minutes. I think you guys are going to enjoy it.
Cool. Awesome. Jess, absolutely. I'll be up on our Facebook page and put it on Twitter, too. Ace your articles and comments.
I got nothing. Support independent wrestling. That's all I got.
Nice.
Wow.
Nice.
Generic AC Riley strikes one more time.
That was a really long pause. Well,
yeah,
thanks for joining us for episode number 71. Am I forgetting anything? I don't even know.
Well, they can find us on Facebook. They can find us on Twitter. We're all over the social medias. We're on Instagram as well.
We're on Instagram.
What do you guys think the chances are that during that long pause, people just were like, oh, something must have went wrong, and they just stopped listening?
I was hoping we would just cut and be like, hey, thanks for listening to Grump.
It's like The Sopranos.
Know? Yeah. You know, it's like, but it's not. We're not ending.
Maybe we should have done that. Oh, well.
All right.
I was going to try to get what I could. I couldn't. That was too funny.
Yeah. What happens, you know?
Yeah.
You gonna live over there, Nick?
Yeah.
Thank you for tuning in to Grapple Talk.
All right, I'll start things
squeaky.
Sounds like Lilar. Lilar and Stitch. Hey, Lilar. Ohana.
Jesus.
Ohana means family. You don't even know what I'm talking about, Jesse?
I've never seen this movie.
Oh.
With Nick Ragnar, A.C. Riley, and Jesse Von Ruden.
Yeah, it's just one light. And the other light I have a tattoo at you are. Figure that out now.
Oh, there you go.
Don't let the door hit you on the way out.
Geeks of the Industry presents Pro Wrestling Nation, hosted by Bay Area comedian Funky Sam Medina.
Hashtag killing.
Go check out Pro Wrestling Nation right now on iTunes, Stitcher, RedDragonsRadio.com, and of course, GeeksOfIndustry.com.
Hey, Dave, what do you get when an atheist and a Christian start a podcast?
I don't know, Ken. What do you get when a Christian and an atheist start a podcast?
I don't know.
You're the freaking comedian. I figured you'd have some kind of joke or something.
Right. Hi, I'm David Vox Mullen.
And I'm Mr. Anderson.
Seriously?
Wait for it. Just wait for it. Anderson.
And we're the hosts of Push the Button on the DVM Podcast Empire.
It's a show where we discuss religion, politics, and sex. All that stuff that we're not supposed to talk about.
I am a Christian.
And I'm an ordained minister with the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster.
I think that's code for he's an atheist.
And together, we tackle any and every hot button issue that the world is scared to talk about.
Yeah, we're not afraid of the truth.
Yeah, we're not afraid to piss people off.
We're not afraid to push the button.
So find us on iTunes.
Or simply visit us online at dvmpe.com. And God willing, you'll come back for more.
Yeah, God willing. You took the words right out of my mouth, Dave.
Well, hey guys, upcoming week on Gravel Talk, we're sitting down with the one and only, the man that we've been talking about for...
Are you going to be able to contain yourself?
For years at this point, he can only be known by two names, and those two names are Dick Justice.
Well, if you're a fan of Dick Justice, or if you've heard that name at all, we've talked about him quite a bit here on Grapple Talk. You know, the guy, the upstart, the man from Ohio,
the Dick.
You know, you'll see him over in the UK here as well. One of America's greatest exports is Dick Justice, and he's coming on to Grapple Talk for 72.
You know, when I think of, like, Dick Justice, you know, I think of bald eagles, American flags, shirts without sleeves on it, mustaches, mullets, everything that makes America great, and you can hear him
bacon.
Alive. Not so much. That's kind of like a little rip on the copy. Bacon,
no, I'm just saying bacon makes America great.
Fuck bacon. But anyhow, we're going to have Dick Justice on the show next week. It's going to be great. This guy is an up-and-comer, great comedic wrestler. We're going to sit down with him, and we're going to talk some dick and some justice.
Nice. So if you don't know Dick, you will after next week.